That's right. Unity. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live 5 days a week, 2 hours a day. Now, if you are capable of supporting this broadcast, your support is necessary, absolutely necessary. I survive 100% since I started covering the issues that nobody else really has the gall or the balls to cover in explicit detail and give people a chance to just talk about what they know and just sit and frickin' listen. If you listen to everybody, you gain something that mainstream media never provides you with. Perspective. How many perspectives are you taking in? You don't necessarily have to agree with everything on this show, as long as you know what people are thinking and what's really going on in this world. Okay? That's the whole point of the show. If you support it, please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and subscribe for a couple of bucks a month. Give us a regular income so we don't have to worry about, you know, whether or not we're paying the rent next week or whatever, as it is now. Or just make a once-off donation, and we'll give you some commercial-free archives there. They're on the website as well. You don't even have to pay for them. How about that? We'll give you something that you don't even have to pay for by paying for it. Right, that's ironic. My very special guest is John Ansell from treatygate.org.nz. Now, there was a couple of things I wanted to remark. As a Pākehā, as one half of a band called the Pākehāchis, which is a Pākehā and a mariachi, I think about Māoridom as sort of like this interwoven nexus of New Zealand. You know, there's it's iconic, really. You know, you think about grass skirts and the dancing and all of that sort of thing, and I think about all the Māori men and women that I've known that have always supported me in what I'm doing here with this radio show. And it occurs to me, they're not the only race in this country being suppressed. As far as I've seen, every single race is being suppressed because there's only a few people at the top of the power and influence structures in this country who have a vested interest in ensuring people do not have real freedom, real independence, because then they would threaten their dominance. That's what's going on here to everybody, not just Māori. John, are you there? Seem to have lost him. Okay, AFR, if you're capable of getting John Ansell back on the line there, we seem to be having a bit of a problem. But anyway, John, if you can hear me, just kind of speak up.
Can you hear me, Vinny?
Yes, I can.
You can? Oh, what's going on here, I wonder? You can hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I've been talking all along. Look, I think there are various ways of diverting the populace, aren't there? And sport is one that we embrace to a great extent here in New Zealand. And, you know, if you can set up a racial squabble, well, that's another one. And they're certainly doing a good job of that. I mean, I talk about apartheid Aotearoa, Aotearoa being the Maori word for New Zealand. Doesn't mean apartheid in every sense of what they had in South Africa, but certainly we have division right through our country now. I mean, now, sometime in the 80s, somebody decided that Maori would be an official language. Now it's so official that our teachers, the New Zealand Teachers Council, instruct their teachers to refer to children not as learners, and that's a comment itself on the quality of the education, but not as learners, but as ākonga. Children are now called ākonga. And, you know, since when, which idiot chose to replace the English word that everybody knows with the Maori word that nobody knows, or hardly anyone knows? But that's what they've decided. They make these unilateral decisions all the time. So the supposed equality of the languages is fast being turned into a total Maorification of everything. We now see that our country has been renamed by by journalists and by academics and by bureaucrats as Aotearoa New Zealand. Now, when did that happen? When did we give them permission to do that? You know, what you were saying about education was very true. Balance. You know, this radio show provides another perspective. Now, people can listen to this. They don't have to agree with everything you're saying or I'm saying, but they know that there is this other view. It's a shame that you have to be doing this, but, you know, you don't get that. In our schools and universities, they should be presented with both sides of everything. But they're not in New Zealand, and there's only, you know, it's the socialist Marxist side only, and they have formed a very strong bond with the Maori elite, or the Maori radical elite. So it's a sort of Maori Marxist collaboration against the rest of the people of New Zealand, who probably number at least 80%. But the views of 80% of New Zealanders, and it's always 80% whenever a poll is taken about various forms of Maori privilege, like Maori wards, in other words, Maori seats in local councils and all sorts of other forms, it's always 80% who come out against it. But that doesn't count. 80% doesn't count.
See, we're all not getting treated fairly. If one of us gets treated exceptionally well, have you noticed that? If people all get treated the same, there's no animosity.
A lot of people are hurting these days, aren't they, Vinny? A lot of people are hurting, but it's only Maori that seem to be able to access the special favours, and that is really upsetting those who are not Maori. Funnily enough, you know, there are a lot of poor people who are not Maori because they're not Maori, because they happen to be Samoan or Pākehā or Chinese or Indian, they don't qualify for the special benefit or the special scholarship. And
well, hold on a second.
Affirmative action gone wrong, I think.
What is the definition of racist or racism? Is it being negative to one race, or is it being in particular, or is it being positive to one race in particular? What's racist?
Well, I would have, until you said that and thrown a curveball at me, I would have said a racist was someone who hates a person of another race on sight just for being from that race. But certainly there is another sense of the word that you're talking about. It is racist to patronise, I think, to patronise people. A lot of Maori people contact me from Australia, from Perth, from Brisbane, because they're sick and tired of being lumped in with this griever group and being patronised. They're being, you know, it rankles with them that they should be thought of as so lowly that they have to be indulged with special favours. And that is a form of racism as well.
Not only is it a form of racism, but it also creates racism, because a whole bunch of ordinary New Zealanders who maybe don't know the facts of the manipulation of the situation actually believe through the media that it's all Māori doing this, and they become hardcore racist against Māori.
That's absolutely right. I mean, I know people in my sort of crusade who actually say to me, look, I am racist. I am racist now, you know, because I've just waged a campaign at the local school to get rid of this blinkered, one-eyed historical view, and the tribe that we've been dealing with have been so nasty about it that I am now, this is what this one woman said to me anyway, she said, now you can actually call me a racist because I'm just sick and tired of a lot of them. And I think that's a shame, because that group, that was Ngāti Whātua, I think, up in Auckland. Now, that group does not represent Māoridom. That's just the guys at the top of that particular tribe making trouble. But she, you know, she is at least honest enough to say that she has become prejudiced against anybody Māori. I'm sure she'd reconsider as soon as she met a nice Māori person. But, you know, yes, it is happening. It does happen, and it's a shame, because our fathers and forefathers tell us that they used to work hand in hand with Maori. They went to war with them. They have the greatest respect for them. They got Maori friends. But that's a previous generation. The present generation of Pākehā have been taught to patronise Maori, to bend over backwards, to give them a hand up, and to feel sorry for them. Well, if I were those Maori, I wouldn't be feeling terribly good about that. Would you?
I don't think so. No. It makes you feel like a belittled child or something like that. Like, oh, do you need a hand? Because a couple of hundred years ago, somebody was real rough to you and you can't sort out your own situation. We're going to help you out for the rest of your life. Oh, you poor little thing. You know, I think that's just freaking insulting.
I mean, I don't know how much longer the excuse my great-great-grandfather lost his land is going to wash, really. I mean, you know, I look at the Chinese people in my family, and bad things were done to the Chinese here in New Zealand. The gold miners that came out, they looked different, they sounded different, and they were treated as a sort of a second-class citizen, almost an animal. But the Chinese approach to this sort of racism seems to be very different. Their motto seems to be "Don't get angry, get even." let's beat these guys at their own game, and they're doing it here in New Zealand. If there's any resentment towards the Chinese, it's because they're doing better. and so there's these two different ways of handling age-old grievances. It's just a shame that the Maori way seems to be to forever moan about it and blame somebody else.
Well, the Maori elite way, anyway.
Yes. Yes.
And again, there's like a tiers of puppetry. Let me explain what I mean by that. You got one puppet dangling on the string who's at the end of a Maori board, and what he thinks he's doing is he's helping his tribe by imposing tribal values and words and terminologies and so on and so forth, teaching programs in local schools and helping out people at the WINS offices getting more welfare. And then there's one person above him who's on an even bigger pay grade, and he's negotiating things like massive treaty settlements for multi-million dollars and is getting paid $1,500 an hour to do so. And then you've got somebody up above the tier on him who lives in multi-million dollar mansions and is always fine dining and whining away. And then you've got somebody above him who controls all these massive banking interests and things of that nature or sections of the government. Then you've got people above them who have massive influences and culture and prestige and media to control everything. Yeah. And nobody's aware of each other. There's a whole massive control system that is being implemented here, and it's being done, in my opinion, deliberately to divide everybody. Okay, if you're Maori, I'll just come out and say it. You're freaking awesome, and you don't need the government. They're a bunch of useless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery mofos anyway, and any benefit that a criminal scumbaggery mofo offers you, I can guarantee you they're only offering you something because they want to take something from you, and they're using it as bait against you.
Absolutely right. Now, the problem here is tribalism, isn't it? All societies have gone through their tribal phases, and it ain't healthy, you know, including ours, including mine. I don't know where you're from, but probably England or Ireland or Scotland or somewhere. That's where I hail from, way back.
We're born in New Zealand, John.
Our clans and our tribes, but it doesn't work. Maori, you see, are still in that, and they've been encouraged to go back into tribalism by this Treaty of Waitangi claim process, which they decided in their unwisdom to distribute the money by tribe instead of by individuals. So suddenly people had to re-engage with their tribe, which they'd long forgotten about or some cases didn't even know about, if they want to get a share of the money. So it's a sort of reformed tribes, neo-tribalism. And the characteristic of a tribe is that everything is justifiable in the cause of your tribe. And that includes treachery, lying. I mean, treachery is an acceptable characteristic in Maoridom going way back in warfare. You know, you invite someone in, you wave the white flag, invite them into your pa to shake hands and make up after a battle, then you slaughter them all. And that happened time and again, and that's okay in the interests of the tribe. And that's what's happening now, is you get all sorts of dishonesty happening in the interests of the tribes. We've evolved a bit since the days of tribalism, and now we have nationalism, and you can argue about that. But that's where we've evolved to. At least our entire nation is together, but When you're embracing tribalism, you've got all these different factions, and they're all stabbing each other in the back, and it's not healthy. But that, and it breeds dishonesty, and that's what we've got in New Zealand. That's the essence of the problem, really.
Yeah, and guess who gets caught up in the whole process? The average person. They're not receiving any actual benefit from this grievance process, are they?
No, you talk to the average Maori, they don't get anything. In theory, they might qualify for their kid might qualify for an education scholarship. Some of them are quite ashamed of that, but you know, if you're given free money, you take it. But generally, the money goes to, as I understand it, the young bright ones to go through university and become advocates for the tribe, and spend the rest of their lives trying to screw more money out of the white man. That's where a lot of the money is going, sort of breeding intergenerational greed and resentment, and a sort of an us and them mentality. It's us against the white man. And
it sounds that's got very to be similar
bad for any country.
It sounds very similar to the way doctors and lawyers come into the world. Usually their father will be a doctor or a lawyer or something of that nature, and they go to the finest schools, and they wind up having a case of superiority amongst other people, having never really experienced any real hardship in their lives. And these people go on to dominate society, lusting after power and control because they've never had to feel any empathy or compassion.
It's an iwi elite. Now, you see, the Maori have made, they're an intelligent race. They made great use of the great gift of British law, and they've now sort of resolved in some ways their intertribal hatreds, and they've combined as pan-Maori to use the great gift of British law against the coloniser, and screwing him for all he's worth. And so you have a generation of iwi youth being bred, actually, to be the next generation of takers. And they're doing really, really well at it. But, you know, this can't really...
It can't go on forever, ladies and gentlemen. John Ansell is my guest. We'll be right back.